Hello and welcome to episode 222 of The Cool Room, a number that is very special to Australian cricket fans that will be utterly bewildering to everyone else around the world. I won't even try to explain it. And hey, that's a good excuse for me to say a big thank you to everyone, wherever you are from around the world, for helping us to make March such a big number of downloads for The Cool Room. It's been really special to see those numbers building up and really makes us feel supported and loved, just like we love all of you, our listeners. And hey, look, a way to help us out, as I've said before, but it really does mean so much. If you haven't already liked and subscribed on whatever platforms you listen to us on, whether that's YouTube, whether that's iTunes, whether that's Spotify, look, doing so makes a huge difference. That helps to drive those numbers, and particularly when we're going out and reaching out to international guests, but even some interesting Australian guests, more of that coming soon, they like to know the download numbers that we get. If you're subscribing, even if you can't listen to every episode, it means that it downloads and that helps us get those numbers up, and then people want to come on the show, and therefore we get the very best guests for you. Guests like Mike Leonard from Hop Hen Brewing, a suggestion from one of our listeners. Thanks very much to Matt for reaching out and suggesting Hop Hen. We had a real ball with Mike from Hop Hen, and you'll be able to listen to that in a few minutes' time, all about his journey from not just home brewer, but home hop grower through to running his own brewery. Some really fun beers, a lot of discussion about the styles that he likes, about growing his own hops, and much, much more along the way. And look, if you want to make the most of the podcast, as ever, make sure you jump onto the Cool Room Shopify account. Just Google Cool Room Podcast Shopify, and in there you will find the Hop Hen beers. We can deliver them out to you, and that way you can have the right beers in front of you while you listen to this episode. You can sip away on things like the lager that we're going to kick off with as you hear Mike talking about it, and maximize your experience, and of course, support the podcast. Look, we've got a heap of fun things coming up right through the middle of 2024, both online shows and in the flesh shows. Can't wait for some of those. And of course, the best way to find out about them, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and listen in to all of the episodes that are coming down the line. Okay, without any further ado, let's jump over to the Cool Room Zoom. It's a bit of an oddity after the last few weeks, but Mr. Warren Wu, you're here, you're on time, and you're in the Zoom room with us.
Yeah, this is quite nice, isn't it?
This is how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. How have you been going, my friend? Have you been sipping anything fun?
No, I haven't. Oh, that's
excellent. Nice. Well, that's the banter out of the way at least.
Yeah, glad we finished up with that.
Mate, we're joined tonight by Hop Hen. Do you want to take the lead and get things underway and say hello to our new friend, Mike?
Yep. Hi, Mike. We've got Mike Leonard from Hop Hen, all the way out in Lilydale. How you doing, Mike?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me on today.
Oh, we're really excited to have you on. And if the first beer is any indication on what we've got in front of us, this should be really exciting.
Oh, lovely.
And David mentioned that he was visiting our friends at Bonehead Brewing in lovely Kensington, and they had some nice words for you too. So we're excited about this one.
Yeah, they said you were going to be very entertaining. So the bar is there to be to be leapt over, my friend.
Well, I'll make him pay for that. Don't worry.
Mike, let's start by getting a picture of where the world you are. We happen to have people who listen to our podcast who aren't only from sunny 23, 24 degree Melbourne. They all over the world. So whereabouts would someone from Vladivostok find you?
Thanks, Warren. So we're in Lilydale, which is an outer east suburb of Melbourne, so south of Australia, southeast, I guess you'd call us down here. Mm-hmm. And we're in the gateway to the Yarra Valley. So we're surrounded by lovely wineries and a few distilleries now and a few breweries around us as well. So if anyone's looking for a holiday, it's a great spot to visit.
Oh, good call. And the other question would be, What is your tap room like on a Thursday night?
Oh, well, it's an interesting one tonight. So I'm in two places, or meant to be in two places right now. So I happen to have a business group, a local business group downstairs doing tastings, and they want to spiel about our business tonight too. So there's about 20 of them in there, and then I had a group of motorcyclists turned up who saw all the ladies and men in their suits and turned around and left. And then we've probably got about 10 or 12 other people floating around. So we do pot and pizza on a Thursday night, and we get out our games, some chess games out there, and cornhole and those sorts of things. It's just an easy going way to spend a Thursday night.
Sounds amazing. It sounds
Chess
amazing.
or there's a fair bit of gap between those two games, I would
Yeah, that's
argue.
right. I'm more a man. I'm not so good with the strategy.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. I used to think I could play chess until my 9-year-old son kicked my ass.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, no, nah, I'm a checkers man.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. No, that's
I
the way to
knew we were
go.
friends for a reason, Warren.
Wow, that's such a diverse crowd. That is amazing and terrific. That's
Yeah.
yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, it really is. One of the things we love, we get a lot of women who come in and enjoy the brewery. In fact, I'd almost say they make up more than 50% of our clientele. They're
Yeah,
not
that's
always beer drinkers, but they just like the safe, family-friendly atmosphere. So that's a sort of a, I guess, a side effect, for want of a better word, that we didn't realize was going to be the case. So it's pretty cool. We love it.
excellent. Excellent. A nice way we like to start getting into the nitty-gritty of a brewery is asking them about their name. Hop Hen is quite a relatively a unique name. But no, again, most breweries have pretty unique names. And it's funny, like for me, like it's funny. Lilydale is a famous local chicken producer, so you can buy a Lilydale chicken, which is funny. And I just realized Leonard's is a good chain of chicken butchers.
That's right. Spelled
Yeah.
differently, though.
So yeah, so where's Hophead come from? Where
Yeah.
do
So, funnily enough, neither of those. And
we
but I've started my journey, I guess, as a home brewer. In fact, I brewed my first beer when I was 16, because when I was 16, I looked like I was 12, and buying a beer from a bottle shop was never an option. So my parents were pretty good, and I used the bathroom and kit and made it then. But what's happened now is, I've been sort of doing a lot more brewing at home prior to opening this, and I have chickens in my backyard, and I grow my hops over the chicken pen. So I've got cascade hops. They're beautiful. The chickens love the shade, and that's where the name came from. So it was going to be Red Hen, because I had a few eyes of browns in there, but there's so many businesses called Red Hen around this place. We landed on Hop Hen, and we're stoked. It's just worked beautifully for us.
Brilliant. That's excellent.
How have the hops gone this season? We're like in prime hop picking time.
Yeah, mine were really good. They get plenty of fertilizer, as you can imagine, being in the chicken pen. So they went well. I've got some Chinook a bit further up the backyard, and I didn't really look after them very well. They haven't gone so well. But I don't grow enough to do a commercial brew, but we did a 50-liter. We pulled some lager off a batch we were doing, and steeped the hops in there. So I have a little sneaky 50-liter keg with hops that I grew at home, probably ready in a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's great. And
Yeah.
obviously you'll stick it on in the tap room and the lucky visitors that you get will be able to come
Yeah,
in
that's
and
it.
that's awesome.
Yep.
So before we get too far, and we often do before we often do, maybe we should talk about this delicious beer we've started off with. It's a cracker. I really love
Thank
it.
you.
It's for me really classical, all the flavors you'd expect. But we've started off with the Lilydale Lager. Mike, can you give us a bit of a rundown on this beer, like how you produced it, and maybe a little bit of a tasting kind of a what should we be tasting? What should we be
Yeah.
getting out of this beer?
Yeah, absolutely. So this lager is effectively we've brewed it as our crossover beer. So when someone walks into a tap room and they say to me, mate, I drink VB or I drink Carlton Draft, and there's no judgment from me, drink whatever makes them happy. But I'll say, well, drink this, that'll make you happy. You'll enjoy it. You'll probably, it's not overly challenging on the palate, so it's not really hoppy or really bitter. It's kind of just a perfect. So I look at it as a thirst quencher. When you taste it, you should it should be quite you'll get a lot of CO2, so you get it's quite bubbly in your mouth. A hint of citrus from the Tettnanger, which has a little bit of citrus, and the reason for that is, you know, if you look at the most refreshing soft drinks out there, they all have lemon or lime in them. And we want this to
Absolutely.
be citrusy and refreshing. So nice and dry, crisp, and then you get a little lingering bitterness afterwards. And bitterness is something I love in my beers. And for me, that just makes me want to have another mouthful. You know, about 2 minutes later, that bitterness sitting there, you go, oh, I better have another mouthful. And it's just lovely. So yeah, really easy drinking.
And it there's just enough, there's a good amount of flavor to keep you interested too. Yeah, I really love that. And the comment about the bitterness is spot on. That's yeah, that's really terrific. We got Mark in the in our chat, and one of our regulars, which we love and adore, the original Mornington beers, citrusy, reminds him of the original.
Okay.
Yeah,
Yeah,
which I can see
nice.
that. There's a couple of those that I could, yeah, I could see that.
Yep.
So we hear a lot of different opinions about whether lagers are back or not. What
Yep.
do you think? How are they for you?
Well, look, I don't think they left. I think most breweries, you know, have one floating around, but certainly they've grown, I guess, in popularity. I mean, you just have to look at the Cerveza craze that's floating around at the moment. We did one earlier in the year. We called it Sunset Cerveza, and we dry hopped it with Galaxy. It was just magnificent. Probably one of our fastest selling beers. We sold out in no time. And then you got all the cold IPAs and those sorts of things as well. I think the thing with lager is people used to think it had to be dry, it had to be almost the style you're drinking now, but people are playing with lagers and that's really working beautifully. So yeah, no, I think they're certainly growing. But they're really good. I love them, and yeah, there's certainly more around, and I appreciate that because my first go-to in any brewery is their lager. Can't hide anything in a lager. Like in a stock lager, that's, you know, if they can brew or not just from that beer, I think.
That's something we've heard once or twice before. So yeah, we
Yeah.
totally agree. There's so we the other what we often talk about is the particular challenges for lagers in
Yeah.
producing lagers. One of them is time. And we like to hear how all the different breweries can't get around that. What's well, for you
Yeah.
guys? Yeah, they often take a lot of time to get them just right.
Yeah, they really do. And it's the annoying part is one batch can be a little bit different to the next batch in terms of the time it takes to clear off too. So we don't have a super strict timeline. We've dedicated one of our tanks to lager and lager only now, just to this little old lager, and we just give it its time. We're a little bit hamstrung because we use, you know, we discussed earlier, because we use East Coast canning, that we have to land on certain dates for canning. So this year we've rejigged our schedule so that we're brewing 2,000 litres at least 6 weeks before that time. You can rush lagers, there's no doubt, but we don't have a centrifuge or any way of filtering. So with the luxury of putting it through that system to make it bright is not an option for us.
I sort of feel, Warren, like, in the old days, we used to guess what time you'd come into the room. Sometimes we used to guess what time we'd get our first scoop of the night. I think we should actually have a game now where we play, what time will the brewer mention a centrifuge for the first time in
That's it, totally.
the
How
podcast?
did
How did
yeah, no, you actually took a fair while.
I go? Oh, okay.
Sound, yeah, it's the bitter kid we always hear about. It's
Yeah. Yeah.
Your answer there sort of begs the question about how many tanks have you got and what is the setup like for people who.
Yeah, no. So we've got a 10 hex system, and we've got five 10 hex tanks and one 20 hex tank. So we sort of would like to grow to the point where we may have to outsource a little bit of brewing at the moment. But we're just toying with that idea. We have outsourced in the past a couple of times. I find it hard to let go. Yeah, I like to be there and in charge. And some of the breweries say, "Yeah, you can watch, mate. You can't be involved." And others say, "You can be involved." And then you've got to obviously work out the costs and is it worth it? You know, do we want a beer that we probably won't make money on, but we keep stock of it and I can do other stuff, or do we wait it out and work out what to do? So, yeah.
I'm a bit fascinated by that. I mean, we'll talk more about where the industry's at and stuff, but the idea that you'd make a beer knowing you're not going to make money out of it, particularly something like a core range beer, I reckon that'll be a bit fascinating to people who everyone must presume that, for every case that you're selling at, I don't know, let's say 75, you're pulling in an easy 25, but that's probably not the case from what you just said.
No, not at all, especially because we outsource our canning too. So there's a little bit extra cost in that too. And then, look, it's every industries are going through the same, you know, cost of ingredients, cost of transport. It's just where the world's at the moment. But yeah, we'll work out where we go, but we're okay. We're not going anywhere, that's for sure.
Good to hear. Well, with a beer like this, that's especially good to hear because this
Thank you.
is a cracker. There's something about a nice sunny day, which we've had here in Melbourne, and a lager. It's setting the pace that we're going to be
Yeah.
enjoying tonight. And
No, good.
not the
Did you have was there an inspiration for your lager? Do you model your this particular brew on a particular on someone else's beer? Is there something you look at and just go, yeah?
Nah, this one I didn't. We did a beer that we released only in the tap room 4 years ago, and we called it Pops Pilsner. And Pops stood for just plain old Pilsner. So I just wanted a Pilsner that was easy. And this kind of grew from that. We just wanted it to be, like we said before, smashable, sessional, really easy drinking, crisp, dry. We wanted to be able to showcase our brewing skills. And sort of this is where we landed. I mean, having said that, I like lagers and I drink a few of them, but I haven't landed on a favorite. Bonehead's Mum's Pilsner is a good one. I enjoy that. And we got local neighbors here, Hargraves Hill, and they've got a I think it's a Dortmund lager, and that's a ripper too. So
Yeah, it's
yeah,
the ones
not
that
modeled on any one in particular, more on the style, I guess.
But Bonehead's getting their free marketing out of tonight.
Yeah, I know. That's done all right. I'll tell Anthony he owes me a case.
That's awesome. Do you think? All right. So the follow-up question to that one, with the lager, do you have anything that you'd change about it? What in your head can you make a little bit better,
Yeah,
given that it's brewer's beer?
that's a good question. I find head retention a real challenge, pardon me, in lagers. This is not too bad, but I reckon there's room for improvement there. It's something we've been really working on since we started brewing it. You know, we used to pour it off the taps, and the beauty of having a tap room is you see it go from keg to glass to customer. You'd put it on the bar and you'd take the money, and then you look back and there's no head left in the glass, you know, and that used to kill me. So we've really been working a lot on that, and that comes down to the way we brew, even the temperatures, how we ferment. We don't add head retention agents to it, but we do add a little bit. I think a little bit of wheat in that one to try and help us out a little bit. So, oh no, actually, we're using Caradec in that to try and help us out a little bit on that front there. So, yeah, if anything, I'd probably go for a better head retention.
I think that's a really good thought. But quite often people miss that when it comes to beer. But yeah, that's a really,
Well,
yeah.
what a beer looks like is almost as important as what it tastes like for mine. It's an entire experience. You know, the looks, the smell, and the taste. They all have to be together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a good time to move on to the next. Matter of fact, I've already cracked it, so I don't know if that went off, but I'm drinking the next one.
You very ostentatiously cracked it, my friend. And why not? Why not? That's the
Yeah,
right thing to do.
absolutely.
But
So, JJ Session Ale, yeah.
yeah, I was about to say, Mike, you've given us the setup there, which is the whole idea about the look of the beer being important. Obviously, the nose is important. Why don't you take us through all of these things in terms of the guys?
Can do. All right. So JJ Hayes, first off, if you didn't know its ABV, I assume you'd predict it's higher than what it is. So the look of the beer, we want it to be nice and clean, very little haze. Once we don't have filtration, so we time is our thing, and we think we nail that pretty well. It has really good head retention, so it looks lovely. Nice sort of golden strawberry sort of color, which is what we were striving for. And then on the nose, you sort of really get those sort of fruity aromas, I guess. I'm just having a sniff myself now to remind me. It's probably the, I mean, all honestly, it's the beer I drink the most of because it's light. So when I'm working the bar and that, I can have one or two of these and go home in good nick, which is reasonably important.
Quite important.
The start, this has got Amarillo and Simcoe in it and a little bit of Galaxy in the Whirlpool as well. But I think the Simcoe is the star of this one for mine. And of course, everyone has different thoughts around that. But I think you really get that grape fruit, that sort of bit of pine, bit of maybe berries. And I think that's more the Simcoe than anything else. But it's a lovely blend.
Well, that's what I was about to ask. You've sort of picked that, which is which of the hops add which to it, and particularly for people who are new to sort of their craft beer tasting, some people don't get that different hops can do really different things in terms of nose and flavour, and particularly what time you add them into the process. Can you
Oh, for sure.
talk to the newbies? Talk to the newbies about
Absolutely.
how the hops work.
So the bitterness you get out of that, we're looking at about 40 IBUs. So not, I mean, you can get, well, you can get stupid high IPAs, but because it's an
IBUs
international,
for the
sorry.
newbies is International Bitterness Units.
And that's worked out off the I guess the bitterness that the hops give to the beer. So we add, I think we go in about 30 minutes in this one with some Simcoe, and then about 15 minutes before the end of the boil, we do some Simcoe and some Amarillo. And I think we've got off the top of my head Amarillo on flame out, and then Amarillo Galaxy and Simcoe in the Whirlpool at about 78 degrees. And the reason for that is that's when you're really searching for that aroma. And all of those three hops have a little citrusy note to them. They have some side notes, but that's, once again, it's a mid-strength beer. And the reason I chose this one is because it's citrusy. It's easy drinking. It's sessionable. It's in the name. And the beauty is it's one standard drink per can.
There's
So,
something to
and
be said
you don't
about
feel like you're drinking one of those big brand light beers.
absolutely. And like I'm just a huge fan of beers that can be that are sessionable but still have flavor. Like that's quite often we have low beers where they're you could drink a million of them, but it tastes like Asao, which has been dissolved in a whole bunch of boring liquid. So yeah, it's like to have something with a bit of flavor is great. So I can see why it's your favorite.
It took us a little while to get the balance right between the malt bill and the hop bill because you want that mouthfeel in there. We don't want it to be really watery. So what we've done with this is we've added quite a whack of oats in there and just part of the process to try and get some of that mouthfeel. Your light beers tend to be very 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 liquidy, I guess, for want of a better description. And so we really want to make sure that when people drank it, they knew they were drinking a beer.
Absolutely.
I've got to say, sorry, Warren, I've got to say the color of this is just sort of perfect. Like, don't be wrong, I love brown ales and red ales and things like that, which is, but if you said to, I reckon, the general punter, what color do you want your beer to be? The way that looks in
Would
my
say this
glass,
color.
it's just.
It's got a bit of light crystal in it that really gives it that and gives it that extra sort of a bit of maltiness to balance out the bitter of the hops.
So when it comes to this is a strange one. We don't get many brewers who would choose a session style beer or like a mid-strength beer in tasting pack. A lot of the time it'll be one of the heavier little numbers. Why did you choose this one? What's the reasoning behind
Oh, do you know what? I chose it because I love it. I love drinking it.
that? I love that.
It just
Good answer.
tastes so good, and it's really approachable. And I think when we made this, the guy that used to brew with me, Joe is his name. That's where the JJ comes from. He said, "Oh, mate and I've got a light, a mid-strength beer that I'd like to brew." And we've came to a big concern. And I turned up and said, "All right." And I whacked a bottle of Little Bling by Bridge Road in front of him. And I go, "It's got to be that good, or we're not making it." Because I love that beer. That's a ripper. And it's worked out really well. And so we've been brewing that ever since. There's been a few iterations and a few changes in the hops and whatnot. But ultimately, to balance that malt and the hop was our aim. So yeah, chose it because I love it. And I think it's a really approachable beer.
Speaking of choosing stuff, is there a beer that you brew because you just like brewing it or because you like the style? Is there a beer that you've got in your range that, yeah?
Our pale ale. I've when I first started or restarted home brewing and went to all grain, probably 15 years ago, my introduction, I guess, really to craft beer, and people might laugh at this, was Fat Yak. I just loved it when it came out. I loved the flavor. I don't know if it's changed now or my palate's developed, because it doesn't taste as good as it used to me anymore, but I'm sure it's still perfect. But it's just, I think my palate might have changed.
Now I get what you're saying there. I genuinely.
And I spent 6 months trying to copy that beer at home. And I reckon I got close and nailed it. And then so our pale ale has really developed out of that. It's completely changed now. The hop bill is so different, but that was probably the journey. So I brew that because I love it. It does sell well. But that's one I would never consider taking out of our range because I love it. So, and we always, I always say to the brewer, "I'm only going to brew beers I love. I'm not doing a style I don't enjoy. I will not do it." So,
Oh,
having
what's
said that, I'm having
a
troubles. Well, I was going to say I'm having troubles finding a style I don't really enjoy to some degree. So, I must admit, I wasn't a sour lover when they first really hit the market. It took me a while to get on board and really enjoy them. And now we do them regularly and drink them regularly. So. But I still won't sit on the sours all night like I would say the JJ's or a lager or something.
I think we've had a lot of brewers say they're just a good bridge. Like you'll be smashing something and then you'll go, oh, let's stick in a sour.
Palate cleanser.
Absolutely.
But we have a few on tap at the moment, a couple of guest beers as well, because we had a sour day festival about a month back. And there's people who come in and drink them all night. They love them, so it's great.
How many taps have you got?
We've got 10, so normally we'll have all 10 of ours. Oh, no, 9 of ours and a local cider. We don't do cider, and then but at the moment, 2 of them are guest taps. So we have beer to fill them up, but we want to run the kegs out before we swap them over.
Who's on the guest taps? Just out of interest. Who are your friends? Who do you like?
Well, we got Bell's Beach on at the moment, Bell's Beach Brewing. We got one of their raspberry sours, and that's because Missy, my salesperson, happened to be holidaying out that way and hooked up with them, and we did a keg swap, which was great.
Well, we need to shout out. We need to shout out there both Missy, who's done all the hard work about
Missy's
stuff.
a superstar.
So absolutely shout out to her and to Bell's Beach, who Warren, we caught up with out at Masterson's in Moonee Ponds about what,
Nice.
4 or 5 months ago. So shout out to Masterson's, shout out to Bell's Beach, shout out to Missy.
Excellent. Well done. And the other guest tab we got at the moment is Watts River. So
Just
Ben
down the
over at
road.
Watts. We did a keg swap with him too. So it works for everyone, you know. People get introduced to our beers over there. We introduce their beers to our customers, and hopefully it's win-win.
I, for one, agree with you regarding the Fat Yak thing. That has definitely changed. And we all knew it would, but it's definitely changed. And like that's the same thing. One of my first ones was Little Creatures. The original one, I drank that in the tap room where it was only one
In
shift
Hillsville?
when I first started. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that it was in Hillsville, yeah?
No,
Was that
no.
the
Oh,
first one?
no, the Little Creatures back in
Oh
Fremantle
no.
when they only had one
Yes. Sorry,
shift.
it was White Rabbit in Hillsville,
Yeah,
yes.
White Rabbit
Yeah.
was, oh,
Yeah.
and that was
Yeah.
delicious too. Like when I
Yeah.
first had a bit of White Rabbit there, it was mind blowing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was still when they had the crocodile farm out the back with little creatures. So it's changed heaps. What do
A
you
trip down memory lane with Warren's
Yeah, a
reptile
little
parks
trip down there.
podcast.
And White Rabbit, yeah, it's that kind of disappeared, which is kind of sad because
Yeah, well, it got bought out by Little Creatures, so they're all sort of, I think, in Geelong, Victorian based anyway.
And
Yeah.
they're owned by a slightly larger company now, and
Yes.
it
Yeah.
changes. But
It does.
they'll say they still do some fun stuff, and I totally agree
Oh,
with
yeah.
that. I totally went off on a tangent, but
That's all right.
back to you, Mike. What are some inspirational craft beers that you drank when you were kind of forming your palate and kind of brewing your own stuff?
Yeah,
Some of the things that you remember being your inspirations?
it's a hard one because I've always been the sort of beer drinker that shops around. So I'll get, a four pack of something and I'll probably never go back to it. And I'll get a four pack of something different and a four pack of something different. Because I really enjoy that, and visiting breweries and all that. So, but probably the most of my inspiration when we started the brewery was in Western Australia. So I took my prior occupation, I took 6 months off, and my wife and I and the family traveled around Oz, and we visited every brewery going down the West Coast from the top end, pretty much from Darwin all the way around. And there were some rippers there, we visited I can't even remember them all, but the one I loved and probably the one that really changed, or was when I actually was brave enough to ask my wife if we could start a brewery, was called Burnt Barrel. And it was a ripper, yeah. So we were there eating some American style barbecue and drinking their beers, and it was just great fun. So, but yeah, look, I loved all the Bridge Road stuff. They've been doing great stuff for a long time. And like I said, so my probably first introduction was really in the commercial, more like your Redbacks and your Fat Yaks and those sorts of things. They're probably the ones that got me going, before I had a true appreciation of what craft is and who makes it.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah, and you know what? I sometimes think the people who didn't necessarily dive into all the crazier style of craft have a real appreciation for quality and consistency. I don't know. Maybe
Yeah.
I'm just making that up, but I feel like the lot of people who started when there wasn't all the insane stuff, tend to have a certain style where it's based on consistency and quality.
Yeah, and that's where we aim. I mean, as much as we can, being a small brewery, there's certainly consistency I find a little bit more difficult to get all the time. We're getting better at it. 5 years in, we should be getting better at it. But yeah, I agree. I think you try and do less and do it well, I think, is a really good way to go. Than trying to bump out, 100 different beers a year, and 3/4 of them are just, yeah, they're okay. I'd rather do less and have people say, hey, this is a great beer. I want another one of those, or introduce it to a friend, or I think that's where it's at for us,
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's not to say we, sorry, I was going to say, it's not to say we don't do one-offs because that's fun. We love doing
Totally.
them. But and I think Missy enjoys them too because they're a good catalyst for her conversations with bottle shops and pubs and things too. So,
What's the hardest beer Missy has ever had to sell? What's something that you got through and
great question.
Do you know what? We did a guava sour, and I thought that was going to be difficult to sell because I don't actually like guava. So I broke my own rule with that one, brewing a beer I wouldn't drink. And she sold it really easily. And they're asking for more. I won't do it again, but they keep asking, when's the guava coming back? I go, it's not.
It really feels to me like your rule is something you break a lot.
Well, sometimes when you get other people involved in the brewing, I've got another brewer here with me, Ben, and you've got to give them some creativity and some ownership too. That guava was Joe's. He wanted that idea. All right, mate, go for it. You might be able to sell it though. Sure enough, we did. So,
I love the fact that this tells you a little bit about how passionate a business owner is. If there's something that sells and you still won't do it again because it's not part of what you want to do, that is excellent. I think that is the best.
Yeah, I'd love to make some money out of my business, but to be honest, I'm here because I love the lifestyle. I love what I do, so that makes it. I was a prior to this, I was a school principal and made a lot more
Wow.
money I made a lot more money than I do now, I can tell you. So, but I'm a lot less stressed now. So,
Wow, it's cool. That's cool principal. That's amazing. That's awesome.
High school or secondary school, now that we've
primary school.
the guys in the guys in the chat were putting bets on about when you'd announce you were in IT, because that's the normal run of things when through
Well,
it.
they should have known when I couldn't get my camera working that that was not my
Yeah,
job.
good call. Great call. I love it. So, all right. There's so many questions now. So when it comes to that step, when you told your wife that you wanted
I
kids,
asked.
when you oh yeah, when you asked, yeah, good call there. When you asked your wife if this is something you could do, how long had it been macerating in your head? How long had you, yeah.
I think, yeah, it'd been going around for a while. Just, where to next? I knew that my career in education was winding up. I didn't have the energy or the passion anymore. And I've always said, and I've said it to teachers who worked for me, if you don't love it, get out, because this is the most important job in the world.
Yeah,
And
no, yep.
you can't get it wrong. So if your passion is not here, please find another job. And I took my own advice, and said, well, I have to get out. I've lost the passion. I'm not enjoying it. I'm stressed out of my head. This is not good for anyone. So I probably had been looking at what I was going to do, and during that trip, after visiting so many breweries, I kind of started to think, oh, I reckon this is something I'd enjoy. I had a lot to learn because I was a home brewer, and I wasn't part of a home brewer club. It's something I just did at home. And your mates are one of two types of people. They either tell you your beer is awesome or it's shit, but feedback is not real, from your mates. So I didn't really know. I knew I liked what I drank, but I didn't know how it was all going to pan out, to be honest. But we talked about it, and some friends of ours at the time had bought a pub, and that's what they wanted to do their whole lives. And they went broke. They lost their money.
Yeah,
And we said to them,
surely
would you do it
not in a business as
again?
easily successful as a pub. I mean,
Yeah.
Warren, you and I have never run unsuccessful alcohol serving businesses. I shouldn't throw Warren under the bus in that regard. It's just me.
I'm right.
Yeah, but we said to them, would you do it again? And they said, no way. And we said, but do you regret it? And they said, no, because we would never have known that it wasn't for us, that we couldn't do it. And that was actually the point where my wife said, let's have a crack. Let's have a crack. If we go belly up, at least we know. We're not going to spend the rest of our lives wondering, oh, we should have started a brewery, or we should have done that. So she was pretty good. She's been very supportive, I must say. So she's a ripper.
Well, we'll need to cut that out and send it back to you. Just to use on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think I know the answer to this, but this is one of our traditional cool room questions. I love it. What's your favorite bit of kit that you've got in your brewery? And the follow-up is, what is the piece of equipment that you'd like if you had unlimited funds?
Yeah, it's so the favorite bit of kit, I don't think you'll guess that. I honestly think there's two, and they're really important. I use them every day. The hydrometer and the pH meter. They tell me a story every time I use them. And we don't use any electronic measurement devices. We actually look with our eyes. We measure with the pH meter, clearly we do. But they're probably the two most important to me here. That's we track how every beer's going and how it's behaving, and is it doing what it should do? Is the pH starting to come back up? Telling us that the beer's nearly done, and so they're probably the two most important. In terms of we're fairly basic here, so we don't have all the fancy DO meters and all that. Luckily, East Coast Canning have, so they bring it in and we can test how we're going. But our processes appear to be good because we're getting good results. And then what would I like? Oh, gee. Probably a canning line, which is, I don't know if that's what you're guessing. I'd probably
Now, you
go
sort of went
with.
off mic there at a key moment, or at least you did
Oh,
for me.
sorry. Oh.
I thought you said centrifuge, but I couldn't be sure.
No, I didn't. And you know what? It doesn't interest me. I don't want one.
Oh, hang on a second. That's the most. There's our scoop, 727.
Well, we like what we do and how it presents, you know, and I don't think it, you know, $150,000, $200,000 investment is going to pay for itself. I think it's a lot of money for things that don't need to happen for us. If we were big, I guess, and we need to push beers out really, really quickly in huge volumes, it might be worth it. But, yeah, hasten slowly is our business motto. Don't get yourself in debt. So just keep doing what we do.
Love it.
Well, we're back here. We're enjoying our time, both on and off microphone, with Mike Leonard from Hop Hen Brewing. We've got a bit of a treat now. We're moving on to the double dry hopped hazy pale. Mike, you've already explained that you love to talk about the beers, not just in terms of how they taste, important as that is, but also in terms of how they look, how they smell. Take us on a little tasting tour. Let's imagine we're all out there at Hop Hen tonight. We know it's busy downstairs or busy in the bar. What would we be experiencing right now in the glass? Talk us through it.
All righty. So you'll be experiencing our double dry hopped hazy pale. So sort of a, I guess, a straw colour, opaque. Can't see your fingers through the glass. So nice and hazy. And head retention, good. Not as good as some other beers. Always a challenge when you put a lot of dry hops into a beer to get that to stick around for long. And quite highly carbonated is the idea behind that too. I think that just accentuates that hop bitterness in these beers. So we probably carbonate our beers maybe marginally more than most or what's recommended. Once again, that's because that's how I like to drink them. So and I figure I've got a pretty average palate, same as most people. So I think it works. Aroma wise. Yeah, this one you'll get a lot. It's got really healthy doses of Citra and Mosaic in it, and in different forms too, T90s and Lupulin and all sorts of stuff in here. I reckon the Mosaic's the star of this one though. I think it really shines through. You get that fruity tropical smell, and then a little bit of berry perhaps. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think blueberry, maybe a bit of raspberry, but sort of a berry note as well. And then that for mine is the Mosaic coming on strong at the end there.
Absolutely. It's funny you say that with berries and currants and things, and this might just be me kind of growing up on a nursery. It's actually tomatoes for me, like, smell like tomato leaves as much as they do like the plant.
Yeah.
And for berry plants and currant plants, sometimes it's that smell you get from walking amongst the plants that I get, and I sort of get that in terms of the berries more than a like a sweet berry flavour. So some people might think jammy wine if you say berry, but for me, I get that smell that on a hot day when you're walking through the actual plants themselves.
Okay, I have like 5 raspberry plants at home, so I can't appreciate what you can appreciate because they're growing next to my tomatoes. I had a tomato sour in New Zealand 2 weeks ago. It was different. I won't name. Well, I can't remember what the brewery was where I had it, but I didn't love it. It wasn't for me. You wanted to know a beer I didn't like. That's the one.
There you go. I think Blackman's did a tomato here at one stage back in the past, which was actually pretty delicious. I remember I was running a bar at the time, and I'd give it to people just to outrage them, and then they'd enjoy it, and we sold it no time at all.
So this one also, it's really quite low on bitterness, you know, and I think most hazies are. They're really about being more driven by flavor than by bitterness, I guess. So it's quite low. Our first sort of edition is in the Whirlpool, so officially 0 IBUs, international bitterness units, but you're always going to get some. It's which is what we want, because otherwise it will taste like just fruity water. But we love it. It sells really well.
Can I ask again for the newbies, as if you know I understand all these things perfectly myself. But double dry hopped again sort of begs the question: well, aren't all hops dry, or are they added? Yeah, right. What makes double dry hopping a different process to say the other ones that we've had tonight?
Good question. So we put our hops in there in pellet form mostly. So we put them in twice, hence the double, during fermentation. So most traditional beers, I guess, were hopped during the boil. When you were boiling your wort, your liquid, you're putting your hops in there to get some flavor and probably mostly bitterness out of that as well. So when you're dry hopping, you're putting that beer straight into the fermenter on the beer that's usually already fermenting. So in this case, we do it at day two when there's heavy fermentation taking place. And the reason for that is, and it's not a big hop, that one, but that's really about getting the hops and the yeast to really keep the proteins in suspension so you get that haziness. That's timing is pretty important on that. If you go too late, your beer will clear off, which is normally really awesome, but in the case of a hazy, not so much. And then we dry hop it again at right with about hardly a day to go in fermentation, and then we give it a really heavy dry hop, and that's where we want to really get those fruit notes and those aromas coming out. But we like to do it just before it's finished, so that if there is any oxygen introduced, which we try our best not to do, we flood it with CO2, that the yeast can consume that and get that out of our beer, which is oxygen's the enemy of beer. So we make sure we do it while there's still a little bit of fermentation to go.
I find that kind of stuff fascinating because, I mean, A, because I'm just a nerd and I probably should have been a scientist or maybe I shouldn't have been because I wasn't good enough to be. But, it's all of those processes, people just don't get that there's that much going into the beer,
Yeah,
what it is.
and that's what makes this one fun, you know. And then the interesting thing too is it kills me a little bit because you put all these hops in, and then they get all the flavor. Then you dump all the hops out of the bottom of the tank, and you just watch, $500 worth of hops just floating into a tub that's going in the compost bin, and but the flavor's in there, so that's all right.
I've got a question, and probably
Nice.
the most important question that we're going to ask. Hazy or West Coast?
For me,
Yeah.
West Coast. West
Great.
Coast. Every day of the week.
Has it
Yep.
always been that way, or have things changed?
Yeah, I'm a clean beer man. I like clarity in my beer. I enjoy the hopping and the bitterness behind it. I do like this one, don't get me wrong, but if you put them both side by side, I'd probably go for a West Coast. But I wanted to.
Sorry, I
Yeah.
mean, I asked that in the question in the sense of earlier on, you were very strong in saying that you only brewed styles you liked.
Yeah. So this one was another brewer who decided this one. But having said that, I like this. So, and I'll happily drink it. If someone comes back and brings it to me, I will most happily drink it. But we have another beer here, our 3C IPA, which is probably more traditional style IPA. And that's, is that in the, did that go on the six packs?
So it is absolutely in the six pack. So,
Yeah.
like, just for
Yeah.
people who've got the pack, and then obviously grab the beers from you or grab them from the Cool Room Shopify, wherever you want to grab them. But talk us very quickly through that because we've got a few of those beers that we're not going to taste officially
Yeah,
tonight.
all
Tell us
right.
the
Yeah, so
3C IPA story.
that leans more towards a British style IPA. We've got Columbus, Comet, and Centennial, hence the three C's. They're the three hops that we've got in there. And the Centennial we add as a liquid hop into the Whirlpool. So and that gives it that really nice note on the end that we used to brew it without it, and then when we went down that path, we went, oh man, this beer just got better and got a gold medal at the Abers. So yeah, it was pretty cool, I guess, risk we took with that beer. I love that, and that's got probably more bitterness than this DDH. I lean towards beers that have a nice bitter flavor behind them. But I mean, you've got to make enough beers to sell. And but having said that, I'll happily drink a hazy any day of the week.
Nice. Have you brewed a good West Coast recently? Like
No,
different, like American style?
we're about to on Tuesday.
Oh, about to on
Yeah.
Tuesday. What's that going to be? It's about
That's
that.
the one with Carwin Cellars. So that's I won't give too much away because I haven't really spoke to those guys completely about it yet. They're all coming here to brew with us on Tuesday. So yeah, that should be a bit of fun.
Well, we love the Carwin Cellars. We can't give too much away either, other than to say, and it's so, I genuinely don't know if it's part of this project or not, just to be really clear. But Black Box 2024 will be teaming up with the good people of Carwin Cellars for
Oh,
that.
nice.
So
Very good.
yeah, that should be fun.
I feel like, Ms. Dora, we got off the topic a little bit here along. We were talking hops a bit earlier on. How easy is it for you to get the hops for beers like this? Like we
Yeah.
talk to big breweries and small breweries.
Yeah.
It's not equal access, is it?
No, it's not. Budgets speak, obviously. This DDH has had probably in the last year three or four different iterations. Still the same hops, but not necessarily in the same style. So they could be T90 pallets, or they might be 45s, or they might be cryo, depending on what we can get our hands on. I've contracted hops in the past with companies, and they ask you to contract, and I get it because they want to forecast what they have and what they can sell. But unfortunately, the back end of that is if you don't use it all, you have to buy it and you have to pay for it in one lump sum. And when you're a small business, 3, 4, 5 grand hop bill, and then find a place to store it hurts. So we do find it challenging to get through what we order from time to time. So it is hard. With the DDH, I'm all right with that changing from time to time. It's just sort of that style of beer where it's a bit of fun too. Like probably if you drank them side by side, you'd know. But if you bought a 4-pack and 2 weeks later you bought a different 4-pack, you might not even tell. So it's a challenge. Hop contracts are really tough, and the big boys buy up some of the more popular stuff very quickly, or at the very least they contract them. So it is difficult. But we make do. We can afford to play a little bit with some of our recipes and be a bit different because we are small. So the bonus of being small is we can change it up too. We don't have 100,000 people all buying the same beer all the time.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely, it does. Is that one of the challenges, or obviously 2024, we're sitting here, we've just sort of heard literally in the last hour or so that Akasha, who we had on the show years ago, have gone into VA. Is a bit of that going around? What do you think is the biggest challenge, either for yourself or for the industry generally at the moment?
Yeah, look, for ourselves, it is cost of everything. I've had two emails this week from suppliers saying, look, sorry, we're doing our best to keep our prices down, but they have to go up because transport's gone up and all those sorts of things. And we sent the same email to our customers in November last year saying prices are going to have to go up. We've got the can deposit scheme coming in, and we've got more prices payments for transport and ingredients are through the roof. And that's probably where our challenge lies. We're fortuitous in that we're small-ish, and we're really just focusing on sticking in the east of Melbourne. That's our backyard. That's our playground. So we stick there. We've still got room to grow in that area, we think.
We're conscious of the time, and I suppose it's probably a good time to ask the traditional cool room question. I love this because it'd be really fascinating here. What I actually want to ask is, what's the weirdest, strangest, most disgusting thing you've seen in a school? But the actual
I'm
is.
not going down that path.
Oh yeah, I didn't think you would, but I would be fascinated. What? Oh, and we might have an audience question or two, which we'll quickly hit you with.
Sure.
What's the weirdest, grossest, most explosive, most smelly thing you've seen in a cool room? And when I say cool room, where we any your any
Yeah.
environment,
I
your
got
temperature.
a Our cool room's pretty small. We jam all our kegs in this. There's not much room for stuff to go completely wrong because it's pretty small with seed oil. So I haven't seen a lot in our cool room. Other than sometimes if you have a leaky keg and it gets on the bottom of your cases, they all stick to the bloody floor and you've got to get them
Oh,
up and then take
yeah.
them out and wash them and repack them. So I haven't seen a lot. I don't have a good answer for you. I wish I did. I really do. But no, I haven't. This is the first industry I've ever been in involving cool rooms. So if it hasn't happened here, I don't know anything about it. So,
Then, come on then. What's the worst thing you've seen in a school?
oh, no, I can't tell you that. So that's horrible. No.
I remember my
I'll
first
probably
set of
get
teaching
sued.
rounds in a primary school at Ascot Vale West. It was very confronting for a young 19-year-old boy from the country.
I could imagine. I could imagine. So, yeah, it's no, I really don't have a good answer for it. I wish I did. I was racking my brain all day trying to think about something. There's nothing that's going on. I mean, without telling other people's stories from somewhere else. So I guess the only thing I see sometimes when it's bloody hot, you get staff just hanging out in there, just chilling out, having a quiet beer on their own, and they scare the crap out of you when you go to go in and there's someone standing there looking at you. So that's probably as crazy as it gets.
I'm going to call you out here, mate. So when
Go
you're going in there on the hot day,
on.
you're going in there for work, not the same reasons that they're going in, just to chill out somewhere that's
Yeah,
cold.
that's right. Yeah, I'm walking in to change a keg or grab a couple of slabs out for a customer, and there's someone having a little quiet beer.
You've never pulled the you've never pulled. I'm the owner. I'm the founder. I'm
Yeah.
the brewer. I get to
Oh,
stand in the cool room.
yeah, no, not really. I've got wonderful staff, you know, part of they're all about customer service, they're rippers, so they work hard. So I did walk in last night and there was a steak and a salad in there, and I asked the staff, I go, no, not ours. It turns out it was a crazy mate of mine who was sitting out the front having a beer, and he'd been shopping and told his wife he was out, and he chucked the shopping in the cool room while he was having a beer. So that's probably as crazy as it gets.
You didn't take the steak home with you, mate. That says a lot about you as a human being. I admire that.
I wanted it.
Mate, we know you got to get down to that business crowd. We love
Thank
that
you.
idea. We're going to very quickly unmute ourselves because
Sure.
all the way from San Antonio in Texas, where everything is bigger or smaller, depending on your point of view. James, you've got an audience question. Fire away with that. Then we're going to come over to Mark, and then we're going to close off the recorded part of things for the night.
Hey, James.
Thanks, David. And thanks, Mike. Lovely
No
hearing
worries.
about your brewery. And
Oh, thank you.
I often ask this question,
Yeah.
which is whether you've had access to some of these new hops that are sort of on the market and you know, if there are any favorites or trends that you see emerging.
Yeah, it's a good question. We got access to really limited amounts, so you know they might bring in a 500 gram packet for us or sample, and it's great to smell, but you can't do much generally with a 500 gram sample. Because we're small, we probably, in all honesty, don't take too many risks with brand new hops. So I kind of like to know a little bit more about them before I go. I can't afford to have one shit batch go to market. We're too small to take a risk, you know. 3 weeks, 4 weeks in a fermenter. If I don't get it right, it really hurts. I've done two in 5 years, and both of them I probably could have sold, but I wasn't happy with it. So, yeah, we haven't really played with them a lot, but I mean, the trend is still towards fruit aromatics, tropical. They're still going down that path, I think. Anyway, that's the way I see it. Anything that's new comes out seems to be really fruity. Hopefully
Awesome
that answers
answer.
your question.
That's great. Thanks.
And our other regular questioner, Mark from Seaford. How are you, brother Mark? Fire away with your question, brother.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Thank you, Mike. Fantastic
No worries.
views. Great session.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, love Lilydale. Grew up in Glen Waverley before the urban sprawl, so
Yeah,
right in that neck of the
nice.
woods.
Oh, next time you're down, please pop in.
Before some of us went to teach in Glen Waverley. There you go, Mark. We've come full circle. Everything's now in.
We're talking us.
I'm the result from the edumacation from Dave. He brung me up well.
Nice. I thought we were going to full circle back to centrifuge.
Synchromatron.
Yeah, to my question, not knowing how big your brew house is,
Yeah.
capacity, so forth, I just wanted to know if you run a little pilot system with your new recipes and so forth to
Yeah.
come up with your new beers before you sort of plow into. Have you got like a 500-liter vessel or
Yeah, no, we don't have a 500. We're actually talking about getting, I want to get a 200, but the issue for us is because we're a 10 hex system, brewing anything under about 500 liters is difficult because the thermometers actually are out of the water, the heat sensors. So getting accurate heat in your mash is really difficult. So we actually have a Brewzilla, a little 60-liter Brewzilla, and we play with that. But often, if we want to just know how a hop works, we'll just, when we brew, say, a lager, we'll pull 50 liters off, put it into another fermenter, and dump the hops in there and play like that. So we do a bit of that. And then we often put them on tap and say to our customers, what do you think? Is it any good? This is a new hop, or this is a different style. What do you reckon? And it's a bit of fun. It's having a tap room is a really valuable asset when you're designing beers and playing with new products.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well
Yeah,
done.
it's the Brewzilla, but the problem with the Brewzilla is it takes as long to brew that all day as it does to brew 1,000 liters.
Yeah, well, you're Ford, I'm Holden, I'm grandfather.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not that fussy. It was just affordable. No
Thanks, buddy.
worries at all.
Warren Wu and I are looking at each other here in the Zoom room going, who's going to do the wrap-up? I'm going to grab the ball. I'm going to run with it, just like the mighty Cats would. Is that right, Warren?
Yeah,
it's absolutely. Been great to have you back in the Zoom room, Brother Warren. But, Mike, it's been a real treat to have you here.
Thanks, guys.
You've been, you've been excellent in giving us a bit of extra time. Go down there. Hang out with those business people. Hang out with those the good ladies of Lilydale and see if you can get those bikes back in as well, mate.
Good on you. Thanks so much, guys. I had a great time.
Thanks, Mike.
Awesome, mate. Thanks very much.
Cheers. No worries. See you. Bye.